welcome everyone. Thank you to coming for, or welcome everyone. Welcome to Think Before I Speak. Today here I have the Crooked Rugs. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Jace.
I'm Nolan.
I'm Jay.
Perfect. And then, I guess, what do you guys do in the band? Like, each one of you, what do you guys do?
I play guitar and sing.
Yep, and I play the drums.
Nice.
And I pretend to play the keyboards, guitar, and sing.
Awesome. Okay, so, I'm a little curious. You guys started in 2019, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what was that formation like?
It's kind of an amalgamation of different projects we had been in throughout our time at CSU. And Rex, who's another member of the band, Rex, Jason, and I met in college, kind of played in different bands. And then when Rex's younger brother came up, it was like, oh man, when Finn gets up here, we're going to start a real band. And that's this band. And then we met Jay a little bit later, and we were like, oh man, we need a keyboard player. And Jay literally goes, I've been playing keyboards for 12 years. And we're like, great, come on over.
And I live in your drummer's basement.
Yeah.
So. Then you have to move gear.
Yeah. So, yeah, we just kind of came together, and we just started playing and again, recording and playing a lot. We played a lot in the end of 2019.
Yeah. Okay, so did you guys all go to CSU? Or what?
Everyone but Jay at one point went to CSU. Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay.
I went to CU Boulder, I'm sorry.
Boom! Actually, get off the stage.
Yeah. Actually, we're done.
Well, actually. But for the record, I do love living in Fort Collins much more than living in Boulder.
That's so real. I've always thought that, like, the tree, I don't know what it is, but I just feel like, you know, have you guys seen, like, the Lorax, where, like, everything's plastic and everything? That is what I feel like in Boulder. I feel like, Boulder, they're going to sell me air.
Mm.
They're going to sell me air. They're going to tell me the trees are real. They're not. They're not.
I'd actually say some of my favorite shows that we've ever played have been in Boulder, right?
Yeah, definitely some of the best opportunities. I never had a weird or unsuccessful gig there.
Or empty or
my parents. My parents have the tendency to come to our worst shows. And you can figure out where those have been.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so I'm a little curious. Crooked Rugs, almost sounds like Crooked Drugs. Where did you guys come up with the name?
It's just in a basement in Omaha. There was Nolan and I were kind of scheming up band names, and kind of have OCD, one of us, I guess, maybe, and a Crooked Rug in particular really started driving one of us nuts. And yeah, I don't know, it's just something I started to notice a lot, and we just were like, all right, that's a good name. And SEO capabilities.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Search engine optimization.
Yes, yes.
There's not a lot of Crooked Rugs. Yeah, so.
Yeah, it was like right at the bottom of the stairs to this basement, and every time someone would come down, it would like you would fix the rug, and then someone would come down the stairs, and then it would like get messed up again.
Speaking of the SEO stuff. The other day, I was at RJ's house, and we asked his Alexa, who are the Crooked Rugs? And it said the Crooked Rugs is an indie rock band from Fort Collins, Colorado.
Oh, hell yeah.
We've been defined by the internet.
Google knows.
That's awesome. Wait, RJ, does he have, like, kind of a, what is the haircut called? Like, was it a wolf cut type of thing?
No.
No? Okay.
He should get one, though.
He should. He kind of usually wears a knight in armor.
Yeah, he usually wears chainmail.
Yeah.
Chainmail.
Yeah.
Yes. He is most often seen playing drums in chainmail.
And a Denver Nuggets jersey.
Denver Nuggets jersey.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so interesting. I know.
Usually simultaneously.
Well, okay. So, let's dive in a little more about your guys' music. I definitely have noticed that you guys kind of go through the internal and external journey. I kind of want to hear what you guys think about for the introspection of the cosmic elements you kind of bring to your song.
Wow.
Songs.
I think a lot of our songs are written from the perspective of a character rather than, like, obviously there's, like, real life influences on it, but I think a lot of our, like, introspective stuff is, like, through the lens of someone going through an experience rather than, like, our own experience necessarily.
Experience. I like that. So, like, who is this character?
It depends. We're kind of into, well, I don't know. There's slightly story building elements in, like, all the albums when you combine them. Mostly that Tales and Metropolis kind of have more of a, like, narrative outline. But, I don't know. It's ambiguous.
I like that. you guys should... Do you guys have a name for... Because, like, it's obviously not going to be one character. But, like, have you guys ever kind of done that, like, story building with, like...
The Midnight Cowboy is
The Midnight Cowboy is a character.
He is a character. Yep. Okay. Yep. That'll be off the new record that's coming out later this year. But, I don't know. I don't write a lot of the lyrics, but I feel like we go in and we create music, whatever we're feeling at that time, month, year, day, or whatever, and then whoever goes and creates lyrics and lore later is very influenced by the music that we put together and kind of whatever emotion that is. Putting forth is maybe what, like, the song could be about or what the character is going through, or once again, I don't write these lyrics, so I'm making this shit. I'm making this stuff up.
If it works, it works. Got me intrigued. I'm like, okay, what's more?
Yeah.
I think we have a tendency to write, like, about cinematic things.
Oh, too. Yeah.
Like, okay. A lot of our...
We read a lot, too. Like, we all read sci-fi and fantasy books pretty regularly, and that it's pretty clear where some of the lyrical themes come from, like whatever books we're reading at the time play a role in the songwriting process.
Books and movies, for sure. I think we'll go and we'll all, like, watch a movie together, or we'll, like, recommend books to each other, and then some of those themes, like, kind of slightly drip through whatever we're putting together at the time.
I love that. Yeah. So, like, books have you guys been up to right now?
Jay and I have been really... We both read the Dark Tower series by Stephen King, which was a haul, but, yeah, definitely influenced a lot as far as, like, multiple storylines happening at once and stuff.
We all watched 2001 A Space Odyssey together. I think that influenced one or two songs a couple of years ago.
Metropolis is... an ode to Metropolis, the movie, so...
It's like a silent film from, like, the 30s or something.
Yeah.
Megalopolis, or... What's the one?
Oh, Megalopolis is the one that just came out that you should not go see. I work in a movie... I work at an independent movie theater, and I would not suggest you go see that movie. But Metropolis, the 1933 film...
Fantastic.
...is much different.
And they just found, like, 2 more hours of it.
So, no way.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Have you guys gotten your hands on that 2 hours? Or?
That's on YouTube now, and they put it to color, which is pretty wild.
Oh,
that is pretty cool.
Space Cowboy.
Yeah.
We have this song on our first album. It's the last song on the first album. It's called Space Pirates. Mm-hmm. That was influenced by Treasure Planet, if you've ever seen that Disney movie. So good. I think we kind of, like, ran with the space pirate thing, and that turned into, like, a space cowboy thing, and then, like, you know, I don't think we've all connected on Cowboy Bebop, but, like, that's a, you know, a story about space pirates. I don't know, it all kind of... I put all of our lyrics together the other day to, like, upload them to Spotify or Apple Music or whatever, and then I, like, read through them all. I'm like, holy cow, like, this actually kind of makes sense.
Someone's actually thinking about this.
There's some lore right here.
And when you put, like, we're about to put out our fifth album this year, and when you put together, you know, over 50 or 60 songs and start reading them all together, you're like, wow, it's crazy, man. You're gonna like write a book about this. One day.
The Crooked Rugs movie.
Yeah.
That would be sick.
We will
as
make
hell.
A movie. Yeah, it's called
The Big Gig.
The Big Gig. We actually
there are several films.
There are several films.
Big Gig, there's Where's There?
Where's
Finding Finn.
Finding Finn. Yeah. And then 1962 Space Racer.
Cartoon.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I think you guys are ready to expand.
Let's
get on this right here. Right
now. Oh man, if we actually like had a studio and didn't have like day jobs, I would love to actually make a movie or several movies. I think that'd be really fun.
No. I'll always act.
Yeah.
I'll be your guys' actor.
Okay.
I'll play all the roles if needed.
That sounds great.
Okay, so I love let's talk about a little bit more about your guys' album, Tale of a Great Western Sky. It definitely feels like a blend of psychedelic and Western influences. And so, of course, you guys kind of talked about, obviously, these different movies and books that kind of build this. But when it comes to the music and the genre of music itself, how did you guys come together for that?
I kind of had a moment where I was really into spaghetti Western, like, music. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of, I feel like that, like, kind of like tinged all the rest of like the songs we were playing. Like they kind of didn't start as super like spaghetti westerny, and then they kind of were directed there like through just practices and jamming and stuff. So I think it's like psychedelic music that has been like shaped into more spaghetti western. We're like, yeah,
there was also this kind of funny story. We were down in Durango, where Rex and Finn are from, and they're out on the East Coast right now, so they can't be here today, but they had this friend, and they were writing this joke album, and one of the songs was Rocky Mountain Grit, like, and it was kind of like this funny joke that they had never, like, taken action on. I'm like, we should write Rocky Mountain Grit right now, and that was back in 2019. And that's one of the songs on the album. So it was just some, like, we had, like, in the music, you know, Jace was playing a lot of, like, spaghetti Western stuff. And then, like, Rex and Finn kind of brought this idea of Rocky Mountain Grit, which then was like, we should write a whole album like this. And then it just took us, like, a couple years to put it all together. Nice. And we'd write songs, you know, and be like, I'll save that one. Like, that one will go on Tales, like, when it's done, you know.
Rocky Mountain Grit was arguably one of the first real Crooked Rugs songs.
Yeah. It was the first Crooked Rugs songs that I ever heard.
Yeah.
I wasn't in the band the first time I saw you guys play. And that was the first song you played.
Yeah. So, one of the first songs we wrote didn't come out until the third album, which is weird, you know. So it took a long time, but it was kind of this like overarching idea we had for a while. And then Jason, Rex and Finn would always watch like spaghetti westerns at work when it was slow and stuff like that. Yeah. So
nice. So what is like you guys working together creating music, especially when it is taking on like different genres of music? How do you guys kind of all combine your guys' sound all together?
We don't really think about it too much, honestly. It kind of just happens at this point. We've been playing together for long enough. It's like we all know what we want to do or are trying to do, kind of. But I don't know. It kind of lends itself to happening anyway. Like, all of our musical styles are kind of complementary but also different, so it's like nice, but
I think exploration is like a big thing for us. I think we're always trying to do something we haven't done before. It's very collaborative. So, yeah,
I think everyone is very, very talented at their instrument. And we actually like just went on this writing retreat where we like went to this cabin and just like wrote music for a couple days, and that was really fun just to start. Like, we would just start playing something, anything, and then other members would just like grab on to like the riff or the beat or something, and then we just play. I think that's how we write a lot of songs, is like we just play
keep refining.
And keep playing and keep playing and keep playing. And then, you know, we'll do it once and then we'll do it a couple days later and then a week later. And then it just kind of turns into what you hear.
It starts. It usually starts with like a small nugget of an idea, and then eventually it transforms into like, oh, this went from just being a sound to like it has a structure now. And then it sits like that for several months, and then at the very last second when we're recording it, that's when we write the lyrics.
Like I said, the music really influences the lyrics. Like, the music is very much first. Or it has been. That's been the trend, you know. Okay. I think it's how we, like, communicate and talk to each other. And then we go and tie it in with lyrics. But that's how we, like, tie it all together.
Okay.
Because it's so, like, weird and, like, dispersed or desperate or whatever, you know, different.
I love that. So do you guys have, like, a song that you kind of each have as your own little baby, you know?
It's a good question. Do you have a baby song that you've seen grow and walk and jump and now he's at school and he's like
my heart jumps to proprioception when I think of that one, because I mean, that song went through a lot of changes, especially in a live setting. I think when we first started playing it, it was instrumental, and then eventually it had some lyrics, and then we had this like fake out ending section like halfway through the song, and then
that's still there
now live. Yeah, that still is there, but then we started doing like another fake out ending at the very end of the song. But we do that like only in a live setting, because we like only captured some of it in a recording, and like I feel like I'm always trying to like revive that song and like keep it going and keep it like changing.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, I feel a special attachment to that one right now, anyway. Mm.
I'd say right now, the song Full Circle is probably my favorite. I was, like, watching or, like, listening to all this, like, Japanese music, and we were, like, really heavy into Kiki Gakumboyo at the time, and I, like, wanted to write a song like that, but as the drummer I can only bring like beats, you know, so it was like this kind of like jungle beat that is like, oh man, like what if we played something like this. And I like showed Jace the video I was watching. It's like these like two girls playing these, I don't know what they're called, but they're like Japanese like lute guitar instruments. I'm like, check this out, like it's crazy. And then I'm like, oh, let's play something like this, and it turns into something completely different, but it, sometimes it's cool to like start with those. Like, what if we tried something like this?
And start then, with synths,
and then we've like put it into the Crooked Rugs realm of music, and it just becomes what it becomes. So that's I like that one. I like them all.
That's a good answer.
I go through phases of hating everything.
Jace also like mixes and records our music too, so he listened to it like so much more than like, anybody.
It's pretty much and then I come and I'm like, oh, that was kind of cool, I wonder how that happened. And then so there's like, I guess there's like nuggets and songs that I like, but it's, as far as like the full song goes, I'm not really sure.
Okay, well, which one was
pitched at it? I don't even know, honestly. No, that's going back too far. And the most recent one, actually, this was like the easiest it was to mix. We like tried really hard to like record with the idea of space. Like, as we've been like recording ourselves this whole time, so it's like every album was like a learning point of like, this is the most we know now about recording. So it kept leveling up, and it's funny because I think at one point it like leveled up to getting worse, like on like as far as like the direction of like the recording kind of, and then we like refined it, and now it's like honed in for our most recent one. So this one was actually pretty easy comparatively far less problems to try to like manage. But the entire first album was recorded in like one room, and so there's bleed in all the microphones, and it's like it was in a not super great sounding room, and we had like blankets covering everything instead of like isolation booths or anything. So it was like, that one was work. It sounds interesting, but yeah, that was a lot of trying to make useful sounds, but or find useful sounds.
It's funny. I feel like there's always also behind the scenes, like the people listening to our music, they always see the final product, and like there have been times where like we mix a whole album and then like the computer crashes and we need to like start over like a month before the album comes out, or like we write a song and it's like 7 minutes and it comes out at the end to be like 3.5 minutes long, or like there are all these different versions that have like occurred, but you're only seeing like the very, very end. So like it takes a while to like put it all together.
I do not blame you.
Yeah.
The way I would just drop everything. The computer gets rid of everything. I'm like, okay, well, guess I'm done.
Yeah, so. I don't know. I don't know how it's...
On an alternate timeline, we've given up many times.
Yeah, it's true.
Given up multiple times.
Yeah. And then I'm just like, Jace, is that, can I still get that thing? And it's like, yeah, I guess I could do that.
You guys are on was it the right timeline?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully. What is
it? Jay always says, music's never complete, it's surrendered.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I think our relationship with songs changes a lot. Whether it's like the first demo version, or like the first time we play it live, or the version that we record, or the version that we play after we've recorded it, and we go, oh man, like I wish we recorded it like that, but we've already recorded it, so like we're moving on.
There's always kind of like, I mean, you ask about like a song that's like a baby for each of us. I also think there are different like eras in this band where there's like one song that we're playing live that like we're just collectively super excited about and just like really on the same page about like the energy of the song. And right now that's Midnight Cowboy, without a doubt. But in the previous arc of the anime, I would say it was Metropolis.
And Proprioception was one of those, and Tales of the Great Western Sky was one of those, and
I'm excited to see what's next. Probably Brothers. No.
One of them, you know. Who knows?
I just really like Brothers, and I'm excited about, there's a song called Brothers.
One day it'll come out. Maybe like 5 years.
3 years from now, there's gonna be a song.
And it could be under a different name. Who knows?
You know? It might not even be called Brothers by that point. The lyrics right now are just gibberish.
So. It's actually like, I'll do a lot of our like demo naming. So like there, it became where like, you know, Jace was writing so many riffs that I couldn't recall them all. Like play the one that goes like, or like play the one that goes like, so I just like give them names like it really doesn't matter, and like some of them stick and some of them don't, and some of them we like keep and some of them are literally replaced like as we're putting the song like on the internet, like, oh no, it should be called this or whatever. And our other members, Rex and Finn, they're like, you know what, like sometimes I don't even bother learning the song name because I like it might change, and like I'll just know what I'm supposed to play when I hear it. It's funny. Yeah, there's just a lot of song. There are a lot of songs.
That's awesome. Okay, so I kind of want to have a little bit of love for each album. So if you guys could give me a little bit of a timeline, we have Tales of a Great Western Sky, and
yes,
Metropolis. Okay. Yeah.
And then there's another one called Here and Now, which will come out November 8th, I believe. So very soon.
It's very cool, and the album art actually has pictures of us.
Yeah. Very different.
Well, it's a picture of us.
Yeah, it's a picture of all of us.
Nice. Also, your guys' Spotify photo is so good. Hey, thank you. I was listening to you guys, I was like, that's a good photo of them.
Yeah,
Jackie Hazel.
Yeah, Jack. Which it is. I think it's the Mir one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we've been really honored to work with a ton of great photographers and visual artists, and
shout out to Charlie Clams.
Charlie Clams, shout out. We love Charlie Clams.
Clam boy.
If you've ever seen one of our live shows where there's been like crazy visuals in the background, that was Charlie Clams. He's the honorary sixth member.
He is the honorary sixth member of the band. There are several honorary sixth members in the band. Jace's dog, Huxley, he's an honorary sixth member of the band. I think he's featured in probably every album. If there's a little like, it's probably Huxley like, dude, come hang out with me. Charlie Clams, Nick Brumbach. Nick Billig, lots of honor, Cowboy. Lots of honorary six men.
Midnight Cowboy, which Midnight Cowboy. The other night, I found out is actually a movie.
It is a movie
from the '80s about male prostitution.
Yep.
Oh hell yeah.
Which
Jason wanted really
could be something that I could pursue as maybe a career if the rest doesn't
Cavalier
work out.
Is the Midnight
Honestly,
Cowboy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if the whole music thing doesn't work out, maybe I'll just.
Get
them
toe picks out there.
A very handsome man.
You do play without shoes on a lot.
You could sell your feet picks.
There's actually a website that like rates people's feet.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And it's crazy. So maybe you're on there.
I am. I am in an 11 out of 10 on there. There was one show where we were playing.
Yeah.
And somebody ran up and like took a picture of my feet with a flash.
Yeah, no! It was a weird moment.
How do you even react to that? It's just,
we just kept playing, I guess.
Laughed my ass off.
And it's funny, like, we'll be playing these live shows, and there are different things that each of us notice, and then it's like, dude, did you see, like, that guy, and, you know, or like, oh, did you see that thing, oh, and it was like...
You know where my mind's going. A specific outdoor show in Laramie.
Yep.
There was a tense moment.
But it's funny to regroup after we play and like, did you notice that or like, did you see that or?
Jay says, I think that guy just took a picture of my feet.
We all go. Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's strange. We've had some fun times. But yeah, albums. Music.
Yeah, let's get back to the albums.
Because there's a lot of them.
So, which one do we want to start with?
Let's start chronologically.
Yeah, let's do
it.
It was first. Yeah. It was first.
We recorded about half of it in this barn in Durango, which is where Rex and Finn are from, and it's on their family's property. And then the other half of the album was kind of recorded in various spaces. Like, I think we did some of the tracking at the Music District. Mm-hmm. We did some of it in my basement apartment. It was kind of a pastiche, if you will. That's a good word.
That was, came out in 2021, in January, but it was kind of, like, written... kind of the beginning phases in 2019, and then 2020 and COVID happened, and Rex and Finn went back down to Durango, and the three of us were up here, and we would just like play every day, and we would try and like send tracks down to Rex and Finn and have them like record, and it's just like, this is not working, like, let's just wait for a little bit, and then like we will come down to Durango. It'll just be like the five of us, and we'll go and like record like in your barn, and it'll just be so much easier to like get the vibe and like teach you these songs. And
I think I remember the original demo for Space Pirates was titled "The Most Fucked Song Jace Has Ever Written."
Yes, yes.
For a while, that was the name of that song.
that title did not make the cut. Yeah. But
damn it.
That was another one. It was like...
Say It Again used to be called Uptown Fuck.
Yeah. Space Pirates. We did a lot of it. We did a lot of it. We recorded live, and then like overdubbed later. And I remember recording Space Pirates, and we played it like 17 times. And every time we were just like, "Nope, that wasn't it. Nope, that wasn't it." No, and then we got to a point where it's just like,
We went with Take Two.
One of them, like, one of them is decent.
You guys surrendered.
Piece of trivia, Take Two.
Yeah, we surrendered.
Take Two. Yeah, take two. We did surrender that song. And, you know, it's good. Yeah. There's this really funny part where, I think it's in the song It, Rex's amp, like, someone bumps it, and it goes like...
Spring reverb,
and it's in the song because it's like, that's the best take we got. So that album was funny because it was very just like, we have to get this done as soon as possible, and we like don't really know how to play these songs together, and like it's just gonna be the way it is.
Love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go into that.
That was phase two of It.
Yes.
They're kind of like partner albums. Similar thing, we were, is Pandemic, and Nolan, Jay, and I were just, like, writing every day kind of thing. So a lot of them are interesting because they start, like, we initially came up with as, like, a three-piece without any vocals or anything.
Yeah, that was, we wrote most of those songs while the lockdowns were still a thing. So Rex and Finn were with their family in Durango, and Nolan and I lived in the same house. And... Jace would just drive over to our place
every
after
day.
Work every day, and we would just write music. And we wrote stuff that made it onto Tales of the Great Western Sky and Metropolis during that era as well. Mm-hmm. So we got it was a very prolific time writing wise. I also feel like that, in addition to being like a continuation of like the writing arc that we were kind of going through with the first album, is there are parts of it that are a little more like narratively structured. Like the first couple of songs flow into each other, and then there's like kind of a trilogy of songs with Proprioception and Tentative and Golden Cow. So I don't know,
that was our first experimenting in like writing like companion songs too, which is now something we do pretty often, I feel like.
Yeah. And then that one, Rex and Finn came up to Fort Collins, and we recorded it in Jace's grandparents' like loft garage, which is very funny because both It and that were recorded in lofts, but one was in Durango and one was in
Severance.
Yeah. So it they're kind of funny, and we literally went to Durango, recorded it, and then came back and like started writing that, or like we had already started writing it. So they recorded like very close together, and I don't know, when I look at both of those, like they're not super cohesive, but when you listen to both of them, it's like, these are the songs we have written and know how to play recorded.
Kind of.
Actually, now that I think about it, there was one song from that time that made it onto Here and Now, our upcoming album, Desert Waltz. We started writing that song in that garage like while we were recording that album.
That's funny.
It was just kind of like a fun jam we did one night, and now, like years later, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Full circle.
How do we do that?
I don't know.
I know, you guys carefully. Just have the flow with it.
Well,
first the lyrics, now that.
Yeah. We'll just, like, what's funny is we'll be working on an album really intensely, and then we'll, like, kind of go into what Jay was describing. We'll, like, jam another song that's not part of that album, and we're just, like, having fun, and somebody will record it on a phone, and then, like, 2 years later, like, be going through their phone demos and hear it and being like, oh, yeah, that's kind of cool. Like, I'll just play that in front of the other guys, and they'll start playing it, and then like that'll become a song that we start playing. Nice. It's funny how
it's the path of least resistance. Whatever just come in.
Yeah, whatever.
I'd also consider like after that point, we entered what I'd consider like the next chapter, which I guess time will tell if it's still an ongoing chapter or if we've entered the next one yet.
Oh, we're in V3. The next one.
Yeah, I'd say with after Here and Now, like Here and Now is the last album of like chapter two of the Crooked Rugs, but that chapter began when
we found a house together that we could really build our own home studio in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the next three albums were recorded, was in our home studio.
Yeah, we literally, like, moved in to this. So me, Jace, Rex, and Finn all live together. And right as we moved into that new spot, I feel like we started recording Tales of the Great Western Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a perfect transition.
Transition. We've made these little like documentaries on our YouTube of like us making albums, and there's one of us playing Tales of the Great Western Sky, the song, and we literally like finish it, and someone just goes, "I can't wait to play that live."
Mid-pandemic. The recording of it that we played that song.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. There's like two albums before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a long time where we were writing songs and we were like, "Oh, that one has to go on the Cowboy album."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it was called the Cowboy album
for a very long time. And there are lots of songs that we like wrote for it that like didn't make it or inspired some and then kind of like, "Oh, these ones are better. Like we don't need to record that one." I feel like we recorded a lot of that album. Like Jace and I were like,
yeah, it was more dub heavy for sure.
Yeah, where like Jace would have an idea, we would play it just drums and guitar, then we'd take out the guitar and like everyone would record over that. So it was very like kind of pieced together, but still had this vision of what we wanted it to be, kind
of. I mean, we've always done a blend of live tracking and overdubbing.
This was, I think this was zero live takes.
Yeah, it was, I remember live. Album 3 being the most overdub heavy, for sure.
But yeah, that's Tales, basically.
Tales,
Any other tales?
Any other great tales?
That one was also, like, the first time we started doing, it's become a tradition for our band when we release an album that we do like a costume release party.
Oh yeah.
So we had like a cowboy dress up party when we released that album.
That was really
and
fun.
That, yeah, we do that every time we release an album now. It's always a costume
party. That was definitely the moment that we realized that the community was actually kind of invested. Like seeing people show up to a show is like, especially after having those shows for so long. It's pretty wild.
I feel so like cool. That was also one where we were very, like, since we had this theme, Tales of the Great Western Sky, it was easier to write lyrics kind of more about, like, the desert and, like, a kind of a Lone Ranger type character and was a bit more, like, thematic. Versus the other two albums, which were much more, like, let's just throw shit against the wall and see what sticks. This one was, like, more thought out, but also, like, less thought out.
Less practiced.
Less practiced. Less rehearsed, for sure. There are a lot of songs on that album we, like, can't play anymore. Just because we, like, don't know how to play them. Because, like,
crazy.
The only time we played them was when we recorded them. Yeah. It was funny, yeah. But it's really good, and it's, like, our most, like, streamed album or whatever, and we still play a lot of songs from that album, too.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I guess now we have Metropolis.
Metropolis.
Metropolis was cool. That one, we had our friend Shane, who works at the Music District here and is, like, a local legend. He's played in, like, drums in town in so many bands, and he's, like, pretty unbelievably involved. I used to like run a drum store in Old Town and stuff too, which is pretty cool. But he recorded us to he has a Tascam 388, which is like a tape machine. Mm-hmm. So that one was way more rehearsed, kind of, just because we had to all nail it together, or like there's no like overdubs with tape as much. So, it was like more committal, which was a good.
A also good practice. It's our most cinematic album.
Definitely, it is most cinematic. Yes.
I figured out a sidechain vocal effects for that one, so they're pretty wet.
Yeah. There is, like each album takes a production step up. We get better microphones, we have more knowledge about, like, recording and mixing and all that stuff, and Yeah, I really like Metropolis. That's another funny one where some of those songs are like extremely well rehearsed, and then some of them like we had never played all the way through before, and it was like, all right, well, it's time to record this, and this is how the song's gonna go. That was like
work.
That was full circle on that album. Like we recorded it last in the sessions because we like didn't know how to play it, and it came out great.
We get some really interesting structures when we're like under pressure like that sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I really think Metropolis is like, as Jay was talking, like chapters, like that was a big step forward for us. I don't know. And just like maturity of songwriting or like playing together or, I don't know. I think the songs are just really cool. Nice. They're different. They sound
like
us. That
was on the computer.
Yes.
Got jacked up on and disappeared for a while. Which
so
was
we.
Not
good. that one came out March of 2023. And literally in January, like the computer crashed and we had to like start over 2 months before it came out. So it's just like, yeah, it's crazy. But it came out and it's great.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So we. We have people taking pictures of your feet during a concert.
Yes, yep.
I want to know what other fucking crazy shit has happened during some of your guys' performances. Do you guys got any...
Somebody broke a rib during Folk OMX this year.
Oh, really?
Against the rail.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
my
God.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, damn. We've had shoes thrown at us at Folk OMX. Yeah. That was pretty funny. Well, so we played Washington's... at like later in the evening, and they're funny because it's really kind of I'd say it's one of the more prestigious venues in Fort Collins.
Fancy.
But they don't like moshing very much, or even just like aggressively dancing by yourself. So a lot of our friends were just like getting yanked out like as we were playing, and so like one guy was getting dragged out by security and his shoes fell off, so people threw him on stage. And then after that, people just, like, kept throwing shoes on stage.
The story that I was thinking of was there's a lady in Laramie, Wyoming. We were playing this outdoor show for, like,
a farmer's market kind of.
It was a fun gig. And there was a woman who was, she was very high on meth. I won't sugarcoat it. And she was wearing a shirt that said Mrs. Nude Rodeo. And I told her that was a funny shirt. And I shouldn't have said that.
She latched
because
on
she really latched on to me after that point.
I mean, she was like grabbing Jay on stage.
And like playing
people,
his
people
keyboards.
People had to be like, to play like my dude, like, get away. And then she like...
During Slugface, we were playing Slugface.
It's like a really intense song.
It's an intense, high energy song, and she just like grabs somebody's kid, like a little kid, and like just the whole crowd of people just start like closing in on her. They're just like, okay, she's crossed the line now.
Like everyone was like,
and all the while
her.
We're just.
Yeah, and we're like, should we stop
playing really loud, like, but like quietly?
Yeah, like oh, like this is kind of weird, and like you know, like. The crowd or like security or whatever like handled the situation, but it was just like it's so incredibly awkward. Like we had no idea. Like should we stop? Should we keep playing? Like should we say something?
Security's dragging her away, and I hear her like pointing at me and shouting, "That's my guy!
That's my guy!"
And the security guard's like, "I'm pretty sure that's not your guy." And then
guy,
after
you're not that guy,
after she was like dragged away, and like the whole scene de-escalated. And like our set was finished and the next band started setting up, I see somebody else like buy her a beer. I'm just like, yeah, that's exactly what she needs right now is like more mind altering substances.
We play this festival called Sykes Peak.
Oh yeah.
And it's always a ride, like no matter what, like it's just a
great
time.
It's called Sykes Peak,
so you can figure it out.
Middle of the woods, you know.
Yeah. The first year we played it, there was just like this crazy windstorm and we were playing on like generators. And like our halfway through songs, like the generators would cut out, so just like all noise is gone except for like drums.
And we just like kept
the
playing.
Wind gods. that was pretty wild.
That was a
like,
weird one.
I was playing these like drums, and like my cymbals would like fall over. I eventually just like took off like as many cymbals as possible, and it was just like I'm just gonna play like with as minimal gear as possible. And we got through it, and people said it was great, but we were like.
I also just want to like shout out Sykes Peak for a moment because that first festival that we played with them, that was the first year that they ran it. There's this Denver band called Plume, P-L-O-O-M. They run the festival themselves. And that first year was like a meeting of the waters. Like I knew that there was a psychedelic music scene in Fort Collins that we were a part of, but I wasn't aware that there was a similar thing growing in Denver. And that festival brought those two communities together, and they've never separated since that year. So it was a pivotal.
Yeah, now they're fourth or fifth year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where and when is it?
It varies, but it's usually in...
It's usually, like, end of July, yeah. And it's but in, the location. It's like in the Pikes Peak National Forest or near there, usually.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. That's cool. So cool.
It's a good time.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I just had a friend that went to Burning Man. Have you guys ever been there?
Never been. No. Heard a lot of things.
Sykes Peak used to be called Burning Ban. Like, before it was Sykes Peak, they had a festival called Burning Ban, which is pretty funny.
I like that.
Fire band.
Fire band.
So I am a little more curious about different, like, what is, how has Fort Collins treated you guys since you guys are here?
Oh, it's great. Yeah. There's so many artists here. All like every it seems like everyone we meet is like especially talented and has like their own, like, is pursuing their own like variants of art or something that like it turns out is all like super collaborative, like podcasts or like what you're saying with photographers or visual artists or even just like fellow bands.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty it's kind of insane. We tour places and we play other places and we're like, oh, this is like a cool town, and then you like see just like the level of talent here and it's like, damn, we have really good bands in this town.
And not just bands, but like as Jace was saying, like visual artists or like makers markets or like people who just love like not just music but like art in general. I think that fuels a lot of different scenes here. And I also just love that people they just create whatever speaks to them, and then they're ultra supportive about the people around them. Like there are so many bands here that we go and see or like have developed alongside with, or bands who have played here in the past that have inspired us, or bands that have like just started in the last year that inspire us. Like it's crazy. Or bands that we've played with that have started new bands together and made like super groups. There's just a lot of like collaboration that really fuels like what we do.
The scenes that you see that like it feels like there's like a more drastic ebb and flow, it's always bands that are like super competitive with each other and are like fighting for gigs, it feels like. And like Denver can sometimes feel like that. Fort Collins has like almost always been like everyone's trying to boost each other up and stuff, and like bring the whole scene up rather than like fighting for space or something in it.
I always feel super bummed out when I like can't make it to a local show.
And usually there's more than one happening a night that you want to go
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
And like right as, you know, we've seen a lot of waves in Fort Collins with venues and bands and stuff like that, and it always seems like when one wave is ending, like another one, like, oh man, how are we going to recover from this? And then another band or another venue or like something pops up that everyone is just like, oh my God, like that's so cool. It feels like a movie sometimes, honestly.
Every ending is also a beginning.
Full circle.
Full circle. I love that. Okay. So, let me think. Are you guys ready for a clip bit?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess I'll have you guys play the music. I'll edit it, so whatever song it is, it'll be a better sounding version. But if you could just I guess we'll start with Jay. You'll test out
two songs, and they have to guess.
Yes.
The artist, album, and song.
Yes.
Oh my! Album.
do we both get a guess at the same time?
I guess whoever beats the other person.
So okay. Just like 5 seconds, like random 5 seconds.
Like
of
a
the
random
song.
5 seconds.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Wait, is this for Jay's?
That's for both of us. We just have to name it.
Okay.
Let's see if we can do this in one take.
Shit, Jay.
You know it.
Is that a Jones sound song?
It sounds like Anton.
You want me to play it again?
Let's see if we can do this in one take.
You know this song. You've heard it before.
Oh god.
I don't know this, so it's up to Jay's.
I honestly have no idea.
It's you want to know?
Yeah.
It's "I Am Over It" by the Dandy Warhols.
Oh.
See, I knew you knew it.
I don't know the Dandy Warhols song names as well. I literally only know
the music.
Albums.
All right, you ready for the other one?
Let's hear it. I'd have failed. We wouldn't have made the $5 on TikTok or whatever.
I'll just keep playing this one until you get it. My favorite song, by the way.
If you don't get this, you guys are kind
of
like
fake
friends.
Yeah, damn.
Well, of course, Jay picks the most obscure song. I don't know what this is.
It's Revolution 9 by the Beatles.
No,
I went to like Bibio or something. That was weird.
I just wanted to play Revolution 9 on the podcast, to be honest. Just thought that would be a funny song to remind the people, you know, that exists. They were the most popular band on earth at the time, and they made that.
It might be my my second least listened to Beatles song behind Maxwell's Silver Hammer.
Mm. You're a Maxwell Silver Hammer hater?
Maxwell Silver Hammer.
I listened to that song yesterday, and I was like,
bang.
I love this song.
It's the song that broke up the Beatles, man.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They all resented Paul for it.
I hate that song.
Wait, why?
Stupid Hammer song.
Yeah, Stupid Hammer song.
Paul only writes children's music or carnival songs, is what George Harrison
said. Yeah. He said, I'm sick and tired of playing this.
All right, you guys ready for another song? I feel like you guys will be able to get this. Alright, hold on. Ready? Here we go.
Devo. Crack that whip. Whip it.
It's that, Whip It by Devo.
That is Whip It by Devo.
What's that album, though?
That's a good question.
Well, we have the Devo Greatest Hits, which it's on twice.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of the album that song was originally on.
Is it just on Devo?
I think it is on Devo, yes. Okay. Here we go.
Ooh, can you turn it up a little more?
Yes, I'll turn it up a little more. Hey, stop.
I'm not.
Stop trying to cheat, dude.
I was saying point it at the microphone. I won't look.
All right, here's another one.
Okay, Brian Jonestown Massacre. Is it on Take It From The Man?
I want to say it's... Fuck, can you play it? I didn't really hear it that well.
Okay, here we go. Ready?
Don't try so hard. We played this. Is it,
yeah,
this
it's
is a
straight
satellite.
Up and down.
Yeah,
straight up and down.
Which is on
Take It From The Man. That's right.
Yes!
We do, we have done a couple fun Halloween shows. Brian Jonestown Massacre, King Gizzard.
Yeah, we'll dress up as a band that we admire and do a full set of covering their music.
We did the Beatles
we'll do
for
Black
Valentine's
Sabbath
Day.
Next.
Oh, that'd be fun. We did Green Day one time.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. All no, right. It was fun. It was fun. All right. I don't know it.
Oh, shit.
That'd be Error in the System by Bitch Flower. It's on the album Error in the System by Bitch Flower, recorded by Chase Haley.
The name was exactly
But
it started in the system. Right. Era in the system.
Check out Bitch Flower. Shout out.
I considered.
They said. We have to wait for them to schedule.
Oh, okay.
They're fantastic.
Yeah, they're like our favorite people in
Fort
Collins.
Some of our best friends. You know, we love Bitch Flower.
All right, and then.
Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba.
Which is one of the only cover songs we've ever played
outside of a cover set.
Nice.
Yeah, we did cover that song great.
It went over great.
You know what?
It was just a terrible show.
The audience
show.
Loved it. Yeah. I loved it. I think that is a really fun song. I'm pissing the night away.
It's one of those, like, there's this weird thing that happens when you're performing where sometimes it's super obvious, like, how the crowd is feeling. Either they're really into it or really not. And then, like, sometimes you're just like, I don't even know, like, do they care that we're up here? And then you get off stage, oh, that was great. It's like, it's such a weird feeling when you're like, what's going on? Are people enjoying this? Okay, I guess they did enjoy it. It's just like this weird thing you go through as an artist. It's strange.
I think Revolution 9 is a really good song, and I think we should cover it.
We're 4 for 6, so we... Jay guessed harder songs.
I honestly thought you guys would.
I'm serious. No, I don't know.
Mine had the name in it. Like, immediately. Damn it. I was trying to start it later.
I thought it would be funny to, like, play a Crooked Rug song.
Yeah.
One of the ones that would be harder to guess, like, maybe just the beginning of Golden Cow or something. You just, like, hear a synth swell and you're like, okay.
We did that for music trivia. I got the taxi driver song wrong.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay. So as we are coming a little bit to an end, I'm a little curious on what advice you guys kind of have for the upcoming artists here in Fort Collins. Peace and love to them. What do you guys got for them?
Utilize your resources. Fort Collins is a... Like, somehow we have, like, all these things that are, like, really supportive of artists and, like, I don't know, like, supportive venues and, like, art shows at the Lyric or...
If you're struggling to get your first gig, hit up Blast and Scrap. You will get a gig with them.
You will get a gig.
They're really good about supporting, like, the underdogs.
Mm-hmm. We have this rule. It's called food before music. Fuel yourself before you get on stage. You don't want to pass out, you know. Drink a lot of water, stay hydrated. You know, it's a taxing thing we're doing, so make sure to take care of yourself and each other. That's right.
And just remember that your voice matters.
Yes.
Like, you have something to say even if you don't think you do. So if you have a creative bone in your body, use it.
Nice. And then, last but not least, what upcoming stuff do you guys have? What can everyone look forward to?
I think the Babe Rainbow show will be after this episode. This episode will come out after that.
Well, we're playing our biggest show to date at the Gothic Theater.
Yeah.
Next weekend.
Yeah. It is a week. Woo! So this episode will probably come out after. So I hope you guys had a great time at the Babe Rainbow show when you came to it the other day, October 13th. This is my advertisement in the future. That's a huge moment. Like, we had been, what if we got an opening slot at the Gothic? And we've been saying that for years, and it's happening a week from today.
Oh, man.
On October 13th.
Wow.
I'm so excited for you guys. That's awesome.
And then we're going on tour. In October, it is like the 18th through the 26th of October. Mm-hmm. That's with a band from Brazil called Bugrins, a psych rock band. We're going from like Phoenix through Chicago and Kansas City and Fort Collins. And then we have an album coming out. November 8th.
Here and Now.
Here and Now is the name of it. So we'll be doing a house show in Fort Collins.
It is a costume party.
It's like
Flower Child, you know.
70s.
Summer of Love.
Yes. Kinda.
That's okay. The theme.
And then we are playing November 14th in Denver as our Denver album release. So those are our shows for the rest of the year. really big gothic show, really big tour, and an album. It's awesome.
It's all coming together.
It's all coming together. Yeah.
Coming up Millhouse.
That's right.
Well, perfect. I'll make sure I get this all edited and finished right before your guys' album, because I would love to be able to help you guys promote.
Heck yeah.
That'd be awesome. Thank you.
I could even try to edit like a little clip of you guys mentioning the concert next week.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I'll get that to you guys.
I'm so excited.
But I'm excited for you guys. So I love the Gothic.
Yeah.
It's like, probably my favorite venue.
It's the most metropolis-looking venue that I can like, possibly think of.
It's so sick. There's a balcony.
There's not our first balcony gig.
Our first balcony gig was Washington's.
Yeah. But this one's slightly bigger than Washington's.
Dude. There were like 400 pre-sales.
Yeah.
When we last checked.
It's going to be great. It's going to be good.
I think it could sell out.
We could be sellouts.
Yeah.
We're going to sell out easily.
I think,
just from here on out.
We've been talking about like next chapters and stuff. I think we're in our sellout chapter.
I think we need a Taco Bell ad. That's our next venture.
Yeah, if we could get a song in our Taco Bell ad.
Yeah.
I think we'd be set.
The song could just be called Detergent.
Detergent.
Well, that'd be
for
like Tide.
Well, Taco Bell is a detergent, like chemically. And that's not a joke, but it is funny.
That's what this pretty
e-box. That we put it in our bodies anyway.
Can't eat Taco Bell pretty frequently.
I'm not going to deny that I eat it, but it is a detergent.
Baja Blast.
Baja Blast is probably coolant.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that.
Probably like 4 empty bags of Taco Bell in my car as we speak. Yeah. Well,
like anyway. Taco Bell, go get your Taco Bell today.
Taco Bell,
it's a great podcast.
Put our song in an advertisement. We'll do it for free chicken quesadillas
for life.
With the cheese sauce.
Oh, perfect. Well, thank you guys for listening to Speak Before I Think. We had, was it 3/5 of Crooked Rugs? But yeah, catch you guys next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jax.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
This is great.
Yeah.